Blog Talk Radio.
This is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with your other host,
Dish Ram, who's sorry that we don't have stunning visual effects to accompany with the same theme song of season one, but hey, you have us.
My thumb is up.
No one can see that
because radio.
We saw the new... I'm not crazy, right? This was a new video package for the theme song.
Yes, I completely noticed that. I was not writing notes during the time the video came up. Yes, it is new. Actually, if anyone wants to call in and refute that with us or agree with us, the number to call in is 718-664-9468. Yes, you can call in because we are live. Also, Satish, what else can they do with our call-in number?
Yeah, as always, the call-in number is available for you, 718-664-9468. And if you'd like to just listen to us through that means in terms of using your phone, your internet might be busy using Netflix, watching or streaming the episode that we're going to be talking about, the two of them, you could just call into that number and listen to us. And if you don't hit the one button, we won't force you on the show to talk to us.
Yeah, we will not. So,
but if you do hit the one button.
Yes. So definitely do that, or not, whichever.
You're going to be forced onto the show.
Yeah. So what did you think about the first episode?
Don't accidentally hit the one button.
Don't accidentally hit the one button. But anyway, what did you think about the first episode?
Right, okay, so this is one thing that I was going to allude to when we were talking about it just a few minutes ago. But so you look at Black Dynamite as, you know, not even in reference to the Blaxploitation movie, but just as a series on its own. And you then can also look, on other hands, at things like the Boondocks, which is the thing that comes to mind very quickly, right? And
right.
One of the things that I took away from the first season of Black Dynamite, which, again, this isn't a bad thing that I've said to you, but it was more oriented towards, like, comedy and just, like, sheer ridiculousness over the top, just humor and situations, compared to the Boondocks, which at times felt a bit more grounded and more focused on social commentary and just, like, you know, satirizing history and the way people act and all that. I mean, specifically, those of us with color, but... you know, that's what it was. So seeing the season open up with what they did here really reminded me of the Boondocks. And that was actually good for me. It was kind of refreshing because it's not like the comedy didn't hit for me in season one. I thought it was hilarious.
Right.
You and I used to sit here and talk about it and be like, God, this is great. We were going to watch it anyway. But it was a nice touch to sit there and look at this and be like, there are a lot of well-founded underlying themes in this episode, and it felt like early Boondocks to me, and I think that was kind of cool.
This, while I have not watched much Boondocks, I really enjoyed this episode because, as you mentioned, the social commentary, and it really stuck out, you know, and of course season openers and season enders are supposed to stick out, but it just really, you know, it really stuck out. Like, it really popped out for me, and I really think it's just a nice episode to have as your season opener because it's really hard-hitting, and you sit there and you think, wow, you know, this is a great plot for an episode, something that I think a lot of people might actually talk about, you know, and also using a lot of things that a lot of people, you know, believe, where the Al Sharpton thing, where it's just, no matter, you know, when you find Al Sharpton, you will find money.
Yeah,
and
that was the thing that kind of made me laugh a little bit.
Yeah.
And also on top of it, Black Dynamite was a more human character in this episode. And I have
and
to,
the second one as well.
Yeah, I have to admit, I don't know if I love that or hate that yet. I'm probably somewhere in the middle, and I'll you know, give it some time to see what happens here. But,
right.
You know, we look at Black Dynamite as this, like, superhero-type person who has exceeded the limits of human capacity in, like, the first season, where he is just beyond, far beyond anyone else who comes in his way. So yeah, you look at what happens in this episode, and I really liked his character in terms of him being more philosophical. And it confused me for a bit, though, because it's not what I expect from him. Well, I don't expect him to, again, referencing the Boondocks, I don't expect him to pull the Huey Freeman thing and just sit there and be like, you know, while I must admit that I enjoy seeing the white folks enslaved, I realized it wasn't a good thing. And I'm like, this is cool, and I get what, you know, why it works, but him being human is something that I think is worth watching and worth noting, because it can give us more of an appreciation for the series, but I don't know if it'll take away some of the charm it has, for me at least, specifically, you know?
Right. I think it's enjoyable because, I mean, there's still a bunch of nonsensical, but I mean, he was only rational when you had someone like Al Sharpton there. Where I think Black Dynamite could have went with them, or could have at least went with the idea, but then when Al Sharpton comes and then just says, yes, this is exactly what we should do, let's not even think, let's all do this. And it's just, you know, Black Dynamite sits there and goes, listen, well, that would be a nice thought. What are we doing here? You know, and you see Orphan, I want to say it was Orphan Annie, but I'm definitely wrong
Penny?
There. Penny, thank you. Orphan Penny, and just violently shaking her. Because he saw what was happening, you know, and even then he was still kind of with them in a way. He was a bit off, but it was a bit off for him, but he was still with them until he saw Orphan Penny whipping Timmy.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
saying, no, your name is Kunta, Kinta.
Yeah, Kunta, I think. And I laughed.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, okay, not that they would have taken it away, but, you know, the season had the stuff from the movie that was still completely over the freaking top, where, I mean,
right.
Like, the whole idea of a orphanage is, still, you know, and it's like, you know, they're not going to stray away from the orphanage or the fact
right.
that the Black Dynamite will refer to women as bitches and things like that, where it's like, it would, you know, I understand that there are going to be people sitting there and saying, even in jokes, that you shouldn't be referring to women as bitches, and I understand the thought process behind that, but it takes away from what the character represents and what he is
right.
put off as.
And the
you know,
time
so
period as well.
That's another thing, where we talk about this a lot in terms of creating accurate characters. Like, let's say you go back to, like, the 1920s and 1930s. If somebody existed then as a white male with money, it is not inherently wrong to have them be portrayed as a racist or a sexist.
Right. I mean, yeah, you know, going, you know, I mean, things like Huckleberry Finn and you know, and books and all the stuff, that
mm-hmm.
was, you know, taken from that time. I mean, you even look at something like Tom and Jerry that has a character, you know, the maid who is a very, quote-unquote, stereotypical black maid. You know, when they released that onto DVD, they actually had Whoopi Goldberg on beforehand in these little, like, vignettes basically saying, hey, you know, I understand, you know, I get it.
Really?
But, yes, but with the time period and, you know, with what was going on, if we change it, because it's changed, I believe, most of the time, the black maid is changed for television, even to this day, depending,
That's
I think.
A,
but
yeah,
most of the time.
Definitely. For movies,
but,
it's
but showing them on DVD, she was
right.
there. Just say, hey, listen, you know, I know how it looks like, I know what it is, I know what it was. It was racism. But when looking back at it, we can't just erase our history.
Yeah, and it's funny because it also reminded me of the whole idea of, and this is more satirical, the stuff that was brought up in the first episode where the blacks were kidnapping the whites, and it was just a matter of like, but I like good times, temporary layoffs, and just jokes like that were, you know, these little, the little comments in the background that made me laugh of like, I have black friends. And
yeah.
stuff like that made me kind of chuckle, where I was like, yeah, I get that. And it just makes me kind of laugh, because swinging it back where it's like, but, you know, yeah, you know, I mean, it's important to consider every situation differently. And Black
oh, yeah.
Adam, you and
yeah.
I can talk about that without being inherently racist or sexist, I would say.
Well, yeah, I mean, most people can, in the sense that, I mean, and this episode itself really, I just enjoyed
yeah.
what it did a lot, in the sense that it was able to go this way and to do this, and then also, you know, have certain parts of it be funny, where you see Al Sharpton, and not only was it all for the money, but just ruining something. You know what I mean? Just, he always gets flack for just coming in and then making it a bit more extreme. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, to your earlier point, you were contesting to me that Black Dynamite seemed rational because he was standing in contrast to Al Sharpton. Yeah, at least the Al Sharpton in the episode. And
right.
I'll give you that, because thinking about how ridiculous the Al Sharpton character was in this episode in terms of him being money hungry and exploiting anyone around him, it just, I can then understand, you know, what
yeah.
you're saying in
to
terms of Black Dynamite in comparison, like,
yes.
it is just a man of justice and righteousness.
What I enjoy is not even exploiting to the point where it's just, you know, I will exploit the black people. He eventually went with the white people.
Mm-hmm.
That
was brilliant.
Which is what proves
your point further, I think.
That was
brilliant. He will go where, and I don't know if I believe that about the actual Al Sharpton. I'll be fair.
I wouldn't say that he would go wherever, but here's the thing. I wouldn't argue money is it, but what I have seen and what I have noticed just from barely looking into it, so, you know, very sorry if I seem uneducated on the topic, but he will go where the publicity is, you know, from what I hear. Not necessarily money, but, you know, publicity being in the light and then being able to talk about the issues. And then sometimes, you know, from what some people say, maybe taking the issue in the wrong direction too soon.
Yeah,
you know,
it's definitely a thing, and I did kind of chuckle a little bit at the when he was speaking for the white movement, where he was basically under the impression, like, hey, you know, you reparations, and the only color I need right now is green, and just talking about that, and I was like, that might be somewhat accurate, just over-dramatized for the sake of comedy,
right.
But like,
yes, yes.
So I get it, you know, it just, like, I'm not, it's weird, because some shows have the liberty to parody characters like this. And so, you know, we know it's one thing when you create a character like Thick James, who is like a straight mockery of Rick James, but not directly Rick James.
Right.
Or in comparison, we have the direct just, hey, or Leroy Van Noose, who is voiced by Snoop Dogg and then like a parody of like every pimp. But
right.
So with Al Sharpton, it's different because how do you parody someone, and they do this in the first season too, but just how do you parody someone by mentioning the stuff that people will notice, but also making it clear that this is not exactly who they are. Like when you look at, like O.J. Simpson in the first first season, which was which is the first episode I watched of the show, and it still makes me kind of laugh a little bit. Just, you know, O.J. Simpson like worshiping the white man and doing everything for him. It was amusing because it lays somewhere, a good parody lays between reality and fiction. So Al Sharpton, I mean, I think I'm about similarly, like, educated about Al Sharpton as you are. So
right.
I feel the same way where, you know, we
yeah.
can sit there and be like, yeah, that might be right, that might be accurate. But we both know, like, you know, he's not going to drastically, like, switch to the white struggle. So
yes, yes, no, not like Richard Nixon, who apparently is just completely evil. No matter, I feel like becomes more and more evil.
Every single freaking depiction of Richard Nixon is always he's evil here. I'm just working off the top of my head. He's evil here. He's evil in Futurama. In the Boondocks, Huey's obsessed with saying that he's the devil. He's like, Richard Nixon, you know, and just Ronald Reagan. Oh, no, Ronald Reagan's the devil there.
Oh.
But, yeah, just Tricky Dick. I mean,
yeah.
I just, God help me, but I always feel bad that the man is like a permanent representation of like white evil. And it's become kind of a funny theme. I actually
give it some time.
Lie.
It'll be George Bush. Give it some time.
You think so, though? Do you think, like...
It'll be Bush in a different way, though, where us, it's, you know, for us, I think it's surprising, but for him, I think it'll be some kind of my evil plan came together
kind of
Nixon, a character.
I like, because, like, Nixon was... I didn't agree with a lot of stuff Nixon did, but he was intelligent. You know, he seemed to have his plan in place. It just didn't favor people.
But we'll get to that a bit later for episode two.
Oh,
right now,
right, when we get to
Nixon's
plan.
Right. Focusing on episode one, I'm surprised we still haven't talked about my favorite part or my favorite parts of the episode. The fact that we had Woody Allen.
Not only did we have Woody Allen, we had Black Dynamite as a fan of Woody Allen.
Yeah, that was just great. That was just,
I love
God.
Switch from just like the complete like silly character to like Woody Allen. I love you, Woody Allen. I'm like, fuck.
It was just It's just great. It's like, where she picks the one movie. He's like, yes, thank you. And immediately just choking him out. It's like, I can't breathe.
I loved that whole thing. Yeah, you go now, Woody. I can't breathe. Nah, that's not what you said. I was like, God damn it, that was a good line.
Oh, man, but no. At first, I thought it was going to be a one-off Annie Hall reference, which strangely became a porn. But I thought it was going to be just a one-off Annie Hall reference. And then they enslaved Woody Allen, who they repeatedly called this pedophilic-looking motherfucker.
Yeah, that was definitely a direct little shot.
That was an OJ moment.
Yeah, like I kind of snickered a little bit, where it was definitely like a, not directly true, but, you know, lying somewhere between fiction and reality.
Yeah.
Is this parody of a character?
I love Woody Allen, you know, in his movies and in this cartoon. You know, Woody Allen is great for everything he's done in his movies and in this cartoon.
You sound like you were paid to say that. But
only in his movies and in this cartoon.
But you can't enslave Woody Allen. He already works for Hollywood.
Yeah, apparently. Like, I'm already a slave to Hollywood. And also, by the way, just I know we mentioned it before, but I really want to put it out there. Black Dynamite fought for white equality.
Yeah, it was fun when that was pointed out directly. But
yeah.
One of those parts of the episode where you're just like, man, that's cool. You know, because not to say that Black Dynamite should be fighting for white justice or, you know, I don't know, but
one justice over the other. But still,
yeah.
It's kind of nice. It's nice to, I don't know, it's an interesting way to see that he's not just a, you know, he's not just an extremist, you know. I mean, it's funny in a way because most of the time, though, when he sounds extreme, it's over things that are legitimately happening, like Richard Nixon and, you know, and all this other stuff. It's not like all of it is just conspiracies, you know. So it's not as if black people are being painted horribly, but I think this episode did a really nice job of showing that, hey, you know, it's not as if they're trying to say that one side is better or perfect compared to the other. You know, it could just be a humanity-type situation.
Yeah, and I mean, with these kind of shows, I mean, there is a general mockery of, you know, Caucasian, the white race. And it's interesting because...
Wait, they were mocked? I mean, whites were enslaved for a whole month.
That's exactly the scene I was thinking of. Where
and they
like,
were...
We were enslaved for a whole month. We can't recover from the psychological damage. And for a second, I became like a mark and bit.
Yes.
And I was just like, you were enslaved for a month. It was. Damn it. It's like,
oh,
remember,
man.
This is, you know, and it was funny because, like, I will admit when certain lines or just the way things are built up will get me to bite. You know, we can identify bait. Not saying that we are geniuses or anything, but we can sit there and identify lines that are bait and kind of chuckle at them.
Professional wrestling did that for us.
Yeah, probably, because, you know, we grew up listening to heels, and you sit there thinking to, like, yourself, does he really mean that, or is he just saying that?
Exactly,
and as you get older,
right?
It's like, yeah, he's just saying that. But, and then you get a little bit older, and then you sit there and think, he might be making sense. And the children are like, no. But, yeah, you look at something like that, and it kind of baited me for a second. It got me where I was like, fuck, dudes, you just, but... Yeah, so the white race is always, like, parodied in these. And there's always a discussion of, like, what goes too far? Have we had enough of this? Have we exploited white guilt enough? And it's funny because within the same episode, like, if you have that question, have we exploited, like, this whole white guilt thing enough? There is also mention of, like, how horrid slavery is. So
yes.
It's kind of trying to answer its own question where it's like, do you think we go too far? Because according to this TV guide, you know, that's actually not an accurate portrayal of slavery. Slavery was actually much, much worse. And I kind of laugh because I'm like, yeah, it was.
I love
so.
No, I think the best thing in the world was when he asked, you know, well, we don't even know if it's based on a true story. So let's check in the guide. Yeah. Oh, man. It was. And then, by the way, just before we move on, I want to mention they quoted Planet of the Apes in the worst way possible.
Go for it.
You don't remember that line? They threw a white woman onto the truck, and she said, "Get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape."
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. Because I knew that line was a reference to something, but
yeah.
I didn't know.
Planet of the Apes. When Charlton Heston was being brought into the courtroom and he just goes, "Get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape." Yeah, that scene. Yeah.
That brings back a moment now, actually.
A moment, you say?
No. I remember the moment you're referencing now.
Ah, well done. Good. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it.
That's terrible.
So anyway, but overall, great episode. Great opener. Could have been an opener or, the ending to the season. But still, great, powerful punch to pack into the first episode of the second season of Black Dynamite that we never even knew was coming. Like, personally, I did not even know if this was ever going to be a thing.
Yeah,
I was worried.
Were you the one where I had my little breakdown? We're never going to get a second season. You're like, we are going to get one. And then for so long it didn't happen that I could have just sat
That's
there and
the
been
thing.
Like,
yeah.
I think we were both right.
Yeah, no, I remember it being announced, like, we're going to get one. When? Unsure at this time, And then all of a sudden, I'm just checking my TV guide just to see what the TiVo, because I recently got the ability to TiVo. And it's actually very godlike in its power. So I'm looking for things to TiVo, and it's just, Black Dynamite is on, on Adult Swim before Toonami on Saturdays. Well, this must be them re-airing old Black Dynamite, because even old Black Dynamite is still good enough to lead in to Toonami. I check. It says the word new in the description.
Right.
I was very confused at that word. New? Is it French? Did they change new and old? What are we doing here? And,
like,
yeah, new Black Dynamite.
Like that line from the internet. You keep using that word. I do not think you know what that word means.
Yes. I was just
as
sitting there.
New on demand? Or...
Yeah, exactly. Because this is airing live, so I don't know. Yeah, it was just very confusing. And then I figured out that, no, that is new Black Dynamite. We have new Black Dynamite. Thank you, everyone involved with Black Dynamite. I'm smiling. You can't
Thank
tell.
Thank you, Black Dynamite.
Yeah. But anyway, so overall, what would you give this episode, from a 1 to 5 rating?
I mean, I'm pretty tough with my fives. But in terms of everything, it was solid. The writing was good. We didn't even go on and just talk about, the direct references to slavery and just the whole idea of the white people singing slave songs.
I can't believe I forgot to put that in the notes. That was
But they can't say the N-word, killed me.
They can't say the N-word.
We can't say the N-word. And also the whole idea of, Little Orphan Penny, just turning to power, not only turning to power, but just the abuse of power and the whole idea of, no, you're going to be called Kunta. There's just so
turning to it. When originally she was just playing nicely. And she even brought up Martin Luther King in his dream.
Yeah,
which
I think
was fabulous.
Oh, my God. And the beginning, I was just so confused. Like, his shitty dream. And And then Sweet Throat getting mad. He was like, don't you understand, Art? His big balls are a symbol. And I was like,
they're a metaphor.
I just
man.
Kinda laughed because I was like, this is a parody of reality, isn't it?
Yeah.
But so there was a lot of underlying stuff in this episode that actually resonated with me, where I sat there and I was like, all right, yeah, I can roll with this, and I like what they were getting at, and I don't know, it's definitely like a 4.5-ish for me, because my fives are really, really, really hard, but
I want to. Well, I will say 5 if only because of everything they gave into the episode and, even the things that, I think the Annie Hall and just the Woody Allen also made it for me, where his jokes were a nice way of at least bringing some light into an episode that could have been even darker and very, kind of just, could have just made people feel even more uncomfortable. you know, where Woody Allen was a big help, was just, you know, his idea of just, you know, I gotta get back home. I gotta get back to Hollywood, as if that's just, you know, because you just hear where everyone talks about, you know, back in slavery, you know, it's like, oh, I have to get home. And you think, oh, man, they were taken from, you know, from Africa and then brought here. It's just they were taken from Hollywood and just dropped. And you just sit there and you think, and you're just like, that is their promised land, Hollywood.
And they need to be pampered to work.
Yes, they need to be pampered, which then brought up a wonderful thought. I really just, you sit there and you think, wait a minute, who is working for who? Who is helping who here?
And of course, the base head. Being a former political scientist kind of made me smile.
Yes,
because I thought that was another little, like, just subtle joke where it was like, yeah, all of these shrug heads used to be successful. So there was a lot of stuff in this episode that I really, really appreciated. And all in all, it was definitely one of the better episodes for me.
It was. I mean, there was just a lot in this episode, and you know, the reason why I want to cut it short and move to two is because we can give it all the time in the world, and that I don't want to give two very little time.
Oh, totally,
because it
fair.
Had its moments as well.
Yeah, no, two was. I felt two was more comedy aimed, of course.
Yes.
But
yes.
I didn't dislike it at all.
You know, I felt like there was a lull period after Samuel L. Jackson appeared. Maybe that's just me.
Really?
I don't know. Something about right after he appeared, it was very fun seeing him, but it kind of dragged on for me, and then up until it really picked up with, you know, the idea of just, then he was eaten, and then it's just, remember Black Dynamite,
Thrust Tar. Because the scene where he started thrusting the sea, absolutely, I lost it.
That's what I'm saying. Once Thrust Hard came up.
Completely.
It was perfect.
I can understand the criticism. Yeah, I mean, you know, in also this one wasn't as much social commentary outside of like, hey, Richard Nixon's the devil. So, you know, it's a step back to the kind of humor we expect from
or the
Black
robot.
Dynamite. Yeah.
You know, racist.
Oh, I in the beginning, dude. just the Kool-Aid is causing cancer. This is confirmed. Just why do we have confirmation on something causing cancer that we created to cause cancer?
Yeah, which, sorry, sir. No, it's so true. It's just like, you know, it's like the plan has succeeded. Like, why do we have, you know, it's like, give me something I don't know. And I was like, all right, fair enough.
Yeah, so there was a lot of really.
And the way they just, I'm sorry to interrupt, the way they just gently went through just like the, you know, the black jaws. Like, as if it was nothing. There's black jaws. Oh, we've been able to put sodium into T-shirts. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Just put us like, there's sodium in T-shirts, and we're going to sell it to the sports. Wait, go back. I love that there's black jaws. I have to, like, because you sit there and you think back to things like Jaws. And it was really a story made with white people in mind. And it's not for me to criticize Jaws being a classic or something, but, you know, white people were attacked. And so it's kind of funny because it really killed me at the end of the episode when it was just, oh, don't worry, that's just Jaws.
That's just white Jaws.
And I just couldn't stop laughing. Like, the way that the whole episode, you know, turned around to end just made me laugh so much because they kill Black Jaws by Dynamite's thrusting the sea as if she was a woman. And then Jaws comes back and kills the one white girl who everyone was attracted to. And then they're not worried. And they go back to Earth, Wind, Fire, and Water, minus Water, who was eaten by the Black Jaws.
Yes. It was very, very, very interesting. But overall, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the episode. It was really fun. And, you know, I mean, just, again, Tricky Dick becomes even more and more evil every time we see him. Black Jaws is... I like Black Jaws' mythos. That was pretty fun, I think.
Yeah.
He's been doing this
fun
for centuries.
And Samuel Jackson's appearance, as you mentioned, was definitely fun. Because you obviously can pick out the voice right away. And I really did like his character's lines. Him and Fat Thick James. Thick James were written very well for me.
I love, by the way, Samuel L. Jackson as a voice actor. I know they make the joke he's in everything, but I really love him in animated shows. I really enjoy his work in Afro Samurai a lot.
Good reference.
You know,
yeah, that's a good place to look for his good voice acting. He's generally good at what he does.
Yeah, I mean, if you've yet to see him in Afro Samurai, definitely check that out. We might be putting that up on our website possibly later on tonight or tomorrow, because, I mean, you know, as merchandise that you can purchase through us through Amazon, if it isn't up there already, because Afro Samurai and the movie are just really good pieces of work. And he does very good work in those, you know, the show and the film.
Yeah, I agree. And, more humor here than anything, but it was fun for me to just sit back and just like, why are you a mysterious nigga? Well, I was told the bitches like mysterious niggas, so I became a mysterious nigga. I was like, damn it.
It was
and it was fun. And just the whole idea of him being this whole crazy captain, just like, I will help you, because I don't give a shit, but, you know, I'm an adventurer, motherfucker.
One question I have for you. I was surprised. I was able to surprise that they were able to show black penises, no matter how tiny and pixelated. How, like, did you, in the kind of the, what was it, Black Galaga? Yeah, I'm very surprised. I know, I lapsed too, but I'm still surprised that they were able to show that.
I guess
censored?
It was just the benefit of being tiny pixelated and Adult Swim, because it wasn't like...
I guess so.
You know, so that's how it worked out.
Yeah, because they weren't able to show, Martin Luther King's.
Right.
That was huge.
You know, his giant balls. And, back when we had Ringo Mandingo, we just had a giant censorship block.
Yeah.
So, you know, I
that was
it's
a good
just
series.
Fun.
I enjoyed
it's
the
fun
series.
For me. I do too. Where, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in life that stresses a human being out. And so it's nice for me to sit back and have good TV, because I grew up also being told, you know, TV's mind-numbing and it can't help you and it's not good for you. And in certain ways, it totally is true. But there's also a lot to be learned from TV shows, and there's also a lot to laugh at. So, you know, you look at this, and this was classic Black Dynamite episode, this one.
Right.
It's exactly what you expect from the show. And it hits, because if you had the sense of humor this appealed to in the first place, you were going to find this episode funny.
Yeah. Also, another thing that people never thought about, since, you know, of course, our parents always told us this during the 90s, no one ever thought, watch a TV show, make a podcast.
Yeah, it's another thing. I mean, it triggers us to do this talking. And we get to just point out all the stuff that we liked, what we didn't like, and it's fun. And for me, like, the little things will always hit. Like, in this episode, Thick James was really funny for me because of the fact that they made, like, four references
to
his
Rick
work as Rick James, and on the Dave Chappelle show specifically.
Yes,
I just love, you know, on the Dave Chappelle show, just cocaine is a hell of a drug, and then food is a hell of a drug.
We also have Charlie Murphy on here, who's been on the show for a while as different random characters.
Yeah.
And I love his work as well on the Chappelle show.
Charlie Murphy.
Charlie Murphy.
Yeah. It's just so... I mean, Black Dynamite's also, you know, it's cool to pull in Samuel L. Jackson, because one of the things about the Boondocks that I always thought was amazing, not even just as a credit to the show, but just like the people that put it together, was that they were able to get some interesting people in to do voice acting, like Thugnificent's crew. Thugnificent was voiced by Carl Jones, but one of the producers. But you had people flanking him in Busta Rhymes and like Snoop Dogg. You know, we had Mos Def, you know, rap. These guys are rappers who were pretty much known at the time and coming and voicing people. And now you look at this series in Black Dynamite. So we had Samuel L. Jackson today. The episode that aired last night that you and I will eventually be talking about soon enough.
Yes.
John DiMaggio was on as a voice actor.
Yes, he was. I feel really bad in the way that I know Mos Def, because I'm sitting here and it's just like, Matt, you don't listen to rap. How do you know Mos Def? He was in Def Jam.
That's fine.
That was a really good game.
No,
the
Def
one
Jam,
that I played.
Def Jam Fight for New York still stands as actually one of my favorite fighting games ever.
Yes.
To be honest with you. Because wrestling games sometimes leave some
stuff
to be desired.
Fight for New York was the first or the second one?
Fight for New York was the second one.
So the first one was Def Jam.
Vendetta.
Okay. Yeah, no, because in my head all I heard was Def Jam, V for Vendetta. And I was like, that's not right.
You were close. But yeah, Def Jam Vendetta was the first one. And it was a cool concept. And then for me, Fight for New York took it to another level because you had the actual people come in to act. And then they were in there, like Sean Paul was actually voicing Sean Paul. And for me growing up, it was really important for me to feel represented. So
he's
having the Caribbean rappers in there. But, you know, swinging around to, these guys are not completely averse to doing voice acting, especially when they have, like, recognizable voices like Snoop Dogg or Snoop Lion or whatever he wants to, Snoop Double G, whatever he wants to go by. And he's been on the show, too. So it's kind of an amusing thing for me where, you know, we have this talk about, like, should they be giving it to young, you know, young aspiring voice actors? And I totally get that. But there's also just something to be said about the charm of getting, like, Samuel L. Jackson to come in and do this role of a mysterious nigga. It fits in a way.
Well, I'll say this much. You don't know everyone on the show right off the bat. A lot of people you do. But, I mean, there are some people that I didn't know right off the bat. I mean, you look at someone even like Michael Jai White, who I enjoy, but I didn't know that I enjoy. And until I really, I watched the movie and I was like, I know you. I know you. Where do I know you? And I know you from Spawn. I know you in a very limited but fun role in The Dark Knight. You know, but other than that, I haven't really seen him in a lot. Oh, and of course, recently he's been on Arrow. So you haven't really seen him in a lot, but I think that's the thing, too, where it's just,
New Yorker.
You could be.
Brooklynite. He was born and raised in Brooklyn. I'm always partial to the Brooklyn people.
Hell yeah. My fist was raised in like a hell yeah motion. None of you saw that because this is radio.
No, but I was very
excited.
It's fun, right? Because like I definitely sit there and I'm always kind of smiling when I hear like, oh, someone from New York, huh?
Yeah, right? Just sitting there just like, hey, one day that is us. I could be Black Dynamite. I cannot be Black Dynamite, but it's...
I don't know if Latin Dynamite would work as well, but I would definitely watch.
I would enjoy Latin Dynamite.
I want to be your accompanying Sweet Throat character.
You can. Hell, you can speak Spanish better than I can. I hate your guts.
I hate your guts. Like, if I could rhyme in Spanish, I can only do puns in Spanish. Where, you know,
but it's
we can be los Juanes elegidos, the chosen ones. You and I together can be los Juanes elegidos.
I want to point out something very, very fun. I love how Honeybee is trying to get the attention of the males at the beach. However, no matter what, she cannot. Because apparently white people learned how to make cornrows. And because of that,
I laugh. Because it's one of those things where it is definitely think of the time period.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it is a bit, it's less common in general. But it's more common than it is now compared to like then. So now it'll be like, all right, that's not as funny as a joke. You think about that going back as like when it was thought about like being filmed or quote unquote like when Black Dynamite set. And it's like, yeah, white people were just finding out about cornrows. So this is a big, big revelation.
Right. You know, and in general, also the idea that many people perpetuate is the idea that just, you know, African-American males love white women.
And can't swim.
Right, and can't swim, which I think is another very human thing. I think that's great about this, about this episode.
Oh,
yeah, that Black Dynamite.
What's even better is that they cover their own tracks on it.
Yes.
Where Cream Corn was like, wait, you swam last season? He literally said he swam last season. And
he was having a...
I was in the middle of a Nam flashback.
Yeah,
that was
just,
that was in the Mr. T episode, right?
I believe so, yes. And I think there was just such, you know, and also the fact that when he actually had his flashbacks, which is great, by the way, because it was just, what about when you're in the hot tub? I can be in water!
Yeah, no, I love that because it's like,
water.
I don't like to swim. It's like, what happens when you shower? It's like, I'm not afraid of water, you idiot. I loved that because I'm like, valid point. Valid point. Yeah. You are not afraid of water, Black Dynamite.
Yeah. But anyway, so the idea, it really seemed like the idea that, you know, even in flashbacks, right, when
yes.
he goes back, he's just, you know, it's just, he does, because it's not even as if it takes away from his powers. He will do superhuman things to avoid going into water.
Oh, I love, he bombed the water just
yes.
to get the guy out, and then there's someone in the background screaming, why does he have to bomb everything? I just laugh because I'm like, he really, see, that's the over-the-topness I appreciate about the series. Just
yes.
Black Dynamite, can you jump into the water really easily and save me and take me back from this short distance?
Nope.
Just a bomb. I've always avoided it.
And also floods the city.
Yeah, but that's not important because he didn't have to swim.
Pretty much.
The underwater base that's directly under Bazooka.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So that stuff was fun. And also, I hated them for playing the one Earth, Wind, and Fire song I obsessively love.
Yes,
because
pretty much.
That's September, and I really love that song. And I was kind of mad at them because I was like, oh, Earth, Wind, Fire, and Water. And I laughed because I'm like, Earth, Wind, Fire, and Water on water. That's cute. And then they start playing September, and I'm like, how did they pick the only song I know by them? I hate them so much. I felt like I was, it's like I felt like they found me as a minority and, like, read my mind. Just, if we want him to laugh at this episode.
Don't you remember the questionnaire they sent out a couple months back?
You know I don't remember anything past yesterday.
Fair enough. I think I remember it in the mail. I got one, too.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That explains.
But overall,
it.
No,
how they knew.
Hmm?
How they knew, you know, I was just wondering how they knew. I mean, it was very impressive. They appealed to me and my humor. And I may have just been in a good mood because I was really happy to have Black Dynamite back. But,
right.
But they knew.
They did.
It was scary.
But fun nonetheless.
Oh, totally. I mean, the show remained, you know, just basing it off these two. I mean, if we are to make... jumping to conclusions, which is what we do anyway.
Why not? Right.
It seems like the second season's in for another dose of good stuff because
most definitely.
I think the first season ended with the Muppet parody episode, like the Kermit the Frog thing.
Because
going
that
on.
Was technically the pilot.
It was really?
I thought it was the pilot. Am I
no,
wrong?
I don't know if you are. We don't have a fact checker for Black Dynamite stuff, so.
No.
But,
I have
no.
to go check facts myself. Come on now.
Hurts.
I mean, damn. I'm currently typing it up as we speak.
That
and
is correct,
you know what?
Actually. That is correct. The pilot episode was Trouble on Puppet Street, and it was adapted to become the last episode of that. Before that, the episode before, if it has any relevance, was the big race war one with Eartha.
Yes,
Eartha
Kitt. That kind of makes sense, I guess, if you wanted to pick that as
yeah,
the
finale. Because
it
was a Doctor Wu scheme that he foiled.
Yes.
So it
yes,
does
yes,
kind of
yes.
make sense.
Yes.
All right. I get that. I was just starting to think about.
Or even if you wanted to cut that out, Honky Kong was also pretty big, I feel.
That was the one before.
Yes,
oh,
right before.
I laughed because I saw Honky Kong and it was like, white apes can't hump. And I remembered. I smiled at the season two first episode here because it was like three different titles. It's like Roots, the White Album, or the Black of the Community, the Deeper the Roots, or those cotton-picking crackers. I was like, I felt bad for laughing because I was like, that is not right. That
I think what was great was that they were picking cotton that was clearly put there just for them to pick with combs, not picks,
with combs.
And then, by the way, apparently Basehead got an amazing real butler. I feel bad pointing this out now. Because he got a legitimate butler who was already being paid to do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, he's just sitting there, and he's just like, and it's just like, why am I rubbing my own nipples? And it's just like, oh, you know, that, and then the idea that it was just, you know, it was like, damn, I need to find a way to get base by myself, and he's not good at stealing, but he is good at actually cooking my heroin. This is a very hard decision to make.
Heroin? Is it heroin? Yeah, it sort of is.
Yeah.
Actually, children, base is the more pure form of the drug speed, or amphetamine. This is not to be confused with methamphetamine, or meth, or crystal meth, which is a totally different chemical on its own. This is also not to be confused with ecstasy, which is also different than base, or speed. This has been today's lesson on drugs. The more you know.
Well then.
Don't buy drugs, children.
Yeah, just
become a pop star and they'll give them to you for free. But
yeah. Well, we have ourselves a caller. I would like to put him or her through.
After that.
Well, it was a bit before that. It was about 3 minutes ago. We had ourselves
a
caller.
Oh my god.
I would like to put, what's great is that they're listening to this right now. I would like to put this caller through. And good job, Satish. Great job.
Hi, caller.
Let's put them on. Hello, caller.
What's up, man?
Hey, where are you from?
I'm in ATL, man, but I'm not from there, but that's not really important, man. I just want to call and let y'all know. Y'all didn't convince me to watch season 2 of this show. I haven't seen anything past season 1, but I've been listening to y'all for the last, 15 minutes?
Hmm.
Good work, gentlemen. Good work.
Well, what can we do to convince them to watch season 2, Satish?
No, you've already done it. That's what I'm saying. I was calling to congratulate you, young boy.
Oh, I did convince you. Oh, well, good. Thank you, caller.
Oh, really appreciate that, because I think you said that we didn't convince you. We were about to stand up and say, oh, well, we can try to convince you right now in a few minutes, because we really enjoyed it.
Yeah, hey, man, it is what it is. Hey, and I'm going to tell y'all, Michael Jai White is a real dude, man. I met him down here at a hotel one night. He was walking out. I'm walking in. So, you know, I'm trying to think of something from Black Dynamite just to mess with him or whatever. So I did the little I'm running things, and he stared at me straight face. So I was like, oh, damn. You know what I mean? Dude, don't really feel it like that. Then he did that Black Dynamite grin, showed all his teeth, and dapped me up. So much respect to that dude, man.
Definitely. I mean, I enjoy, you know, I haven't seen a lot of his work, but from what I've seen, I mean, he's great at either, you know, comedy or just really making you think that he's going to kick your ass.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's a big dude, man. So I already knew what it was. I wasn't going to get too far out of line unless I would have had to hit him with something. But it's a game, man. But look, what do y'all do? Y'all review all types of animation? Or what do y'all do here?
Oh, yeah. No, you know, if you can check us out on our website, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com, you know, and we post a lot of episodes there from Blog Talk Radio where we review animation, you know, stuff like Dragon Ball Z, Black Dynamite, Gravity Falls, Steven Universe, also wrestling, you know, WWE stuff, and, you know, anything else we can find. And what else do we do, Satish?
No, I mean, you pretty much hit on it. It's just we basically will talk about anything that we feel is relevant and fun. It goes video games, TV shows, and it just helps us get our feelings out there, and in return, we get to hear people call in, taking advantage of a live feature like you just did, which is awesome. You know, and it's our way of talking, you know, making use of the internet to get our opinions out there, reaching people that we wouldn't normally be able to reach by just sitting around and talking to a group of friends.
Indeed. Well, I'm going to hang up and listen, but I got one correction for y'all. Please, when you say wrestling, don't say wrestling, say wrestling.
Rhodes said
that is the correct pronunciation.
Actually, yeah, you know, I can't believe what I was saying about. Yeah, wrestling. But, definitely, since you missed the first half an hour, you can also still check us out, you know, via our Tumblr, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com. You can see our archived episodes there so that when you get up to this episode, you know, in the future, you can just hear back on what we were talking about. Because overall, it's very fun, these last two episodes.
Okay, that's what's up, man. All right, y'all do your thing, man. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, right. Thank you very much for calling in and listening.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one.
Too.
Callers are good. I enjoy calling.
You know, it was a lot better than I expected after making that whole little speech on drugs where I was like, and someone could call in and tell me that I should be off the radio for good. And I would have laughed and been like, you may have a point that I am in.
Internet radio.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess that's the benefit of internet radio, where I may be allowed to say words and things. But
yes. No, I was very interested because by accident, I guess, the amazing caller said didn't get us interested, or at least I misheard him.
No, I thought I heard the same thing, where they said that,
right,
that we didn't convince him, and I was like, oh, well,
I can do it.
Because, you know,
I will.
Yeah, and it's fun. I'm glad that we both enjoy this episodes because these episodes rather because now we've got, you know, one aired last night, and we'll have, if they're more of a consistent schedule than what we're used to with some of our other stuff in terms of like Gravity Falls, where we just did an episode and we might have to wait about 2 weeks before the next one comes out.
Right. With Black Dynamite, we can easily do this either every week or every 2 weeks, just waiting on episodes. Because, you know, it's hard to sometimes stretch a 30-minute episode into a full-hour show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing we knew. I mean, even with it was kind of weird for me, though, because not a Black Dynamite thing, but because we've been doing so many different shows and watching so many different things, and Steven Universe being one of them, it was almost weird for me when the episode didn't end after 15 minutes. Not that Black Dynamite would have done that, but it made me laugh because I sat there and I was like, wow, it didn't end at 15 minutes. There's another whole part of the same story.
Yes.
And it was just a laugh I had to myself.
And
I was like, wow.
And it was definitely able to, you know, expand on, you know, much we love a show like Steven Universe or, you know, a lot of the other shows that air in this nice little 11-minute kind of, you know, 15-minute span, you know, it's always nice to have that extra time to develop your story, you know, especially with Black Dynamite. I mean, I cannot wait for another movie. I don't know what it would be on. I don't know if it would be an end to the series, but it would be very nice to see another movie when, you know, they could possibly get to it.
Yeah, I mean, we're wrapping this up now as we come closer to 12:30. But so let me punt that in your way because you just mentioned it. If we got another movie, would you be upset if they ended the Black Dynamite cartoon series with an animated film?
Oh, not at all. I would just wonder how it would work. Where would they try to market that to theaters? I know people would go see it because they're fans, but I'm wondering if they would try to market that to theaters. I mean, I believe the original Black Dynamite film was a limited release.
Yeah,
so,
and you look at the TV viewership. I mean, I think for season one, they were averaging like in the like maybe 1.3 to like 1.5 million viewers for every episode. And, you know, that's not even considering the people who find other means to download it that are not able to be recorded on those numbers or something like that.
Hmm.
So if you want to say maybe they're pulling in about like 1.5 million viewers per episode, I mean, how many people can you get out of that to go see the movie? And then how many people on top of that number can you go get to go watch it just because of the fact, like, you know, someone like me, like I watch films like the Machete series. You know, you and I talk movies. So, you know, I'd go laugh and stuff. And there's some people who don't watch the Black Dynamite animated show or haven't been told about it, but would probably go see that movie for the laughs. So
I think a lot of people would go
back that.
Looking at the viewers, right? You see 1.69 million for the first episode, and then strangely, the second episode actually jumped up to 1.89, right? So the lowest out of the entire series was 1.423, which was Honky Kong, right? That is the lowest that we've seen, 1.423, because we don't know season 2's ratings just yet, right? So that's the lowest you saw in season 1, where the highest was that 1.89. So you're looking at these ratings, and it's a bit different than something like WWE, where WWE, you know, you get 4 million people watching, but they really are solely based in, you know, children that don't have really the power to, let's say, go to a movie or buy a pay-per-view or something like that, right?
Or buy
where
their network,
the people,
in wrestling's case.
In wrestling's case, yes. So in this case, it is, you know, 1.89 dedicated fans, you know, 1.69 dedicated fans. And even if they're downloading on the internet, that could be for simple convenience because there are currently a lot of ways to get something without watching it live, like, you know, like TiVoing it or even going on something, let's say, on Amazon Prime
or just general
like
on-demand through your cable service. For me, I managed to catch them both on Verizon's on-demand service, which is actually pretty goddamn updated and quick.
Yes. Thank you. That as well. I have that as well, and I completely forget.
Mm-hmm.
That's something too. People completely forget, or they just don't really utilize those. So even people who may have just downloaded it illegally out of preference something like the Avengers, right? And I know Avengers goes for a very large scope of people, but still, something like the Avengers, it made money by the people wanting to go see it, but it made more money by the people wanting to see it again. And I think something like a Black Dynamite movie now in its, you know, in its career, you know, at the point where it is right now, people would go see it twice, if not three.
I mean, I don't know if I would go as far as to say that, but I do think that it would be a success in theaters. I will give you that
now,
much, and I agree with you on that point.
Yeah, let me clarify. I'm not saying it would get Avengers-level success, but what I am saying is, like something like, you know, the Avengers, there are hardcore fans that enjoy it, and it will be funny enough that will at least, even if you're saying, oh, it'll be a cult classic, still, back in the day, it was, you know, things were cult classics because even if people went to see them over and over and over again, there were still very little, where now I would argue that, you know, something like this with the, you know, with the internet and things like that and social media, we're able to do a show on Black Dynamite, right? Tell people that we're doing a show on Black Dynamite and really spread the word to the point that, you know, we can get people who may not even know that we're fans or that other fans exist right here watching, you know, listening to us talk about Black Dynamite. And being able to go back and watch it right after we talked about it to go, you know what, let me see what the, you know, if I agree with those guys or if I disagree with those guys or just I want to see more of, you know, what I saw, let's say, last week or the week before, since this, you know, the first episode aired about 2-3 weeks ago. So with that, I feel as if it, you know, it could be very successful in a way where, let's say, if this was released in the 70s, it may not have been successful.
Yeah, you definitely look at the virtue of having the internet, and it's a big thing for something like Black Dynamite, where, you know, it's a big thing for what I would say, things like Black Dynamite, which cater to a specific sect of, like, yeah, a cult fandom, and things that are like social justice-y, like if you have a documentary on racism or something, word of that spreads really quickly, you know, like in a flash. So something like this as well, on the flip side, depending on what direction they decide to go on with the movie, it could become a hit very quickly for whatever direction they do, whether it be plot or just the fact that it is a ridiculous type of blaxploitation film that, you know, returns. Because Black Dynamite, the original movie, is still watched by people and they still laugh it off. And, I mean, there's stuff like Undercover Brother in the early 2000s that was also done that way for humor and was a success. So,
right.
I don't see any I still think the idea of seeing it twice in this day and age, to me, is weird because I can barely afford one movie. So going
that's
to
the thing, I understand.
See it twice.
I understand.
So that's why I say for me it's weird, based on what I know, that it's weird to talk about seeing a movie twice, because I have seen movies multiple times, but going to a theater to see something I've already
seen. We know of discount theaters.
Yeah, discount theater is one thing. And another thing is also, like, for me, waiting for people to come, like when it comes out in Blu-ray or something, to wait to catch it with some people who haven't seen it. So we'll sit down and watch it in the comfort of my own home or their home. But, again, you know, DVD sales is good. That's good for the whole movie. So I do think that the movie, like, if they were to, like, top it off an animated film, it would be fun. That's a nice thought to end it on, I would say.
Also, you know, now that we're done with our show, we would like to thank you guys for listening to those guys. And quickly, we would like to mention that, of course, our, you know, website, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com, as we mentioned before, we can get a lot of things on there, including merchandise that we'll be updating later, like Black Dynamite merchandise that you can buy through us through Amazon. Also, our Facebook /thoseguysontheradio that we also post our shows on, our Twitter, thoseguysradio. And currently, our name on Twitter is Professor Oak. Why is that so? Because we just had a Pokemon contest for the month of October for free, you know, free shiny Pokemon, free battle ready shiny Pokemon, Halloween themed. Now the issue with that is that on Facebook, one of our posts went bye bye. We don't know how this happened. We made a new one to counteract that, and we asked any of you who entered through Facebook, who liked our page and who shared that post, to, you know, like the new one or share the new one. You did not do that. We currently have no one entered on Facebook because of that reason. What does that mean? If you're listening to this, or you know someone who liked, you're listening to this and you know someone who liked our Facebook and who shared the post solely for entering the Shiny Pokemon contest,
you have a head start.
Please get them to do that.
Yeah, you have a head start if you're listening to us right now.
Yes, but, you know, and again, you know someone, please tell them, get on it, because right now we have zero winners for Facebook, and if by Sunday no one enters, we'll be giving one of those Pokemon to a random selected winner on Tumblr and another one to Twitter. So please.
Yeah, so you have 1 week to try and figure out, you know, you have a very easy way to win here because considering our Facebook readership and likeship, not that much.
Yes.
So if you're out there listening and you want one of our spooky Pokemon that are shiny and competitively ready for
battle.
Or
you know someone who tried to get it, tell them.
Go for it.
Help them.
Remember,
yes.
You have to like our page and share the post. Like our
yes.
page and share the post. Very important.
Right.
Or else I can't consider
you
an official entry.
Yeah, so thank you guys for listening to those guys. I'm going to play Afro Gunso. And I think we're in the archives right now. So, hello, everyone in the archives. I'll be slower. I'm going to play Afro Gunso.
Just play us out.
Sergeant Frog, the anime, the hit anime, the hit manga, Afro Gunso.
Play the goddamn song.
Aikata bawa Afro Gunso Afro Gunso.